Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This holiday season, Lexus wants you to remember. It's not just the thought that counts. It's your thought. Because no matter how much time you spend picking out the perfect gift, the only thing they'll really care about is that it's from you. Here's to experiences they'll continue to cherish. Season after season. Make this December one to remember. Together. Click the banner to discover more. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Here's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Live. We're talking NFL Wild Card Weekend. We're going to even give you a little preview of Monday Night Football with ESPN Radio Lexington's host, Brad Taylor. He'll be with us here as well, and we'll close it all out. We're talking a little even college basketball in this episode. So that and so much more. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Podcast.
From Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network, you're listening to the Sports Stove Podcast with your host, Vince Stover.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up in me?
Welcome in to a brand new Sports Stove. We are live on Tiki Live. Thank you for tuning in today. If you miss any portion of the show, we'll replay it at 2 p.m. And then we'll also be on for you in the podcast version, wherever you get your podcast, the Sports Stove Podcast. Today's Sports Stove is presented by Belly Up Fantasy Baseball Live. Starting February the 20th, every Sunday night at 8 p.m., Belly Up Fantasy Baseball Live will air on Tiki Live, on Facebook, on the Belly Up Fantasy Facebook page, and on Twitter. And you can tune in every Sunday at 8 p.m. We're going to start off with the player rankings on February the 20th, and that'll take us through our live draft in March before opening day. Hopefully, opening day happens when it's supposed to as well. I want to let everybody know they can follow us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Sports Stove. We're also available on Facebook and on YouTube as well. And if you follow us on social media, you'll find a link for our merchandise store. We got some t-shirts and long sleeve t-shirts and sweatshirts and things like that available there as well. We're dropping three episodes a week. We'll be 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays here on the Tiki Live app. And then and as well, drop each of those episodes in podcast form for you Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Our Wednesday episode will be the Sports Stove Local Hour. We cover all things Eastern Kentucky University. And if time allows, we'll cover some other sports news as well. Before we bring in our guest, Brad Taylor of ESPN Radio Lexington, we're also we're going to talk. We have a great things planned for that conversation, talking the games that already happened and then Monday Night Football that is ahead of us as well. We're going to talk a little Kentucky basketball and SEC basketball with Brad as well. But I want to start today's episode talking about NFL draft busts. If you Google worst NFL busts of all times, you'll come up with a lot of popular names. The Jamarcus Russells, for instance, usually end up there as well. But I was watching football this weekend, and during the Philadelphia Eagles-Tampa Bay Buccaneer game, Jalen Reagor started coming to mind. He was drafted in the first round of the 2020 draft, number 21 overall to the Philadelphia Eagles. one spot ahead of Justin Jefferson. And that's the one that gets brought up the most when you're talking about Jalen Reagor. When you're talking about bust, someone who was selected in the first round that's supposed to make a difference for your team, kind of like Devontae Smith did this year for Philadelphia. You have a player now who is just filling time, wasting time, filling an opportunity that could be taken somewhere else. Not only is he not productive as a wide receiver, he is a liability as a special teams returner. And we saw in this game against Tampa on Sunday, Jalen Reagor just he muffed two different punts. One of them he lost. The other one he got back. And he is just a problem. So I started thinking through the 2020 NFL draft and looked up what other receivers went in that draft after Jalen Reagor that Philadelphia could have done better with. Justin Jefferson is the obvious one, as he went one pick later. Brandon Ayuk went number 25 to San Francisco. I would take him over Jalen Reagor. And I continue to look. T. Higgins, Michael Pittman, I would take both of them. They went the first and second picks of the second round. Laviska Shenault in Jacksonville, I'd take him over Jalen Reagor. K.J. Hamler in Denver. Chase Claypool in Pittsburgh. Van Jefferson in Los Angeles. Denzel Mims in New York, you can question, maybe. But they've been equally disappointing, needless to say. Those are your second round wide receivers. In the third round, Antonio Gibson was listed as a receiver. Obviously, he plays running back for Washington, so we won't count that one against him. Brian Edwards in Vegas, I would take him over Jalen Reagor. Devin Duvernay in Baltimore, I take him over Reagor as well. Then you get to the fourth round, and that's probably where Jalen Reagor finally fits in properly into the fold. In the fourth round, Gabriel Davis in Buffalo, and then Washington took Antonio Gandy-Golden there as well. And that's where I would say, okay, Jalen Reagor fits more in those groupings than anywhere else. It just continues to kind of prove the point that general managers, they may outthink themselves sometimes. Justin Jefferson, he was the fourth receiver, I believe, taken in the 2020 draft. And he should have been maybe the first receiver taken. He is an incredible talent and greatly skilled. Then you've got people like the Green Bay Packers, who chose to take quarterback Jordan Love over a Michael Pittman, over a T. Higgins there that were available to them at that point. Jalen Reagor, maybe it's just the situation he's in. It's not the good situation. Philadelphia doesn't have a quarterback that can throw the football. They aren't an organization that is well-organized at the moment. And, you know, maybe he hurts more than he helps at the very least at this moment. Will Jalen Reagor come around and turn into a productive NFL receiver? He possibly might. But at this point, it's not hard to look at him and go, NFL bust guaranteed. Maybe one of the worst first-round wide receivers taken in quite some time. Philadelphia exits the playoffs, and it's not Jalen Rager's fault, but why not pick on Jalen Reagor just a little bit here today? We're looking forward to the episode ahead, and we're getting ready to bring on our guest here in just a moment, Brad Taylor, again from ESPN Lexington Radio. He also hosts a show on another channel, but The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. We'll talk to him all about that. But first, we're going to have a quick word from a couple of our sponsors, and then we'll get to Brad Taylor.
What's going on, Belly Up Sports fans? Thanks for tuning in to the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. We have some really exciting news for several Belly Up Podcast Network shows. The Sports Stove Podcast, the Rough Cut Sportscast, and Here in Puckburg have all been nominated for a Sports Podcast Award. So head on over to sportspodcastawards.com and make sure to vote for the Sports Stove Podcast for Best College Sports Podcast and Best News and Current Affairs Podcast. Vote for the Rough Cut Sportscast for Best American Football Podcast, and vote for Here in Puckburg for Best Winter Sports Podcast. Again, that website is sportspodcastawards.com. Thanks for being the best part of Belly Up Sports. We are what they aren't.
Over 20 years of experience, Matt Schaefer and the good folks at locally owned IPM Pest and Termite provides pest control service for all of Central Kentucky's pest control needs. Whether you have a current pest control problem or want to prevent infestation from ever entering your home, IPM Pest and Termite offers maintenance programs that will help keep pests out of your home and provide peace of mind. So for dependable, reliable services that you can count on, get in touch with our good friend Matt Schaefer at IPM Pest and Termite today at myipm.com. That's myipm.com.
Does the exterior of your home need a facelift? All Around Roofing has you covered. All Around Roofing is a veteran-owned company servicing Madison County and all of Central Kentucky. From roof repairs and replacements to gutters, siding, windows, soffits, chimney flashings, and more. All Around Roofing provides quality work and friendly service that will leave your house looking great. Call today at 859-489-5179 to get a free quote. That is 859-489-5179. We can handle your all-around exterior needs at All Around Roofing.
Welcome back into the Sports Stove Live. We're joined now by our friend. He's been on previous podcast episodes before, Brad Taylor. He's the host of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor. You can catch it Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m., on the all-new Sports 96.1 The Zone in Lexington, Kentucky. He also hosts The Weekend Line on 92.5 1300 ESPN Lexington. That's 9 a.m. Saturday and Sunday mornings. Brad Taylor, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm well, Vince Stover. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I'm always doing great, though, come playoff football. There's two things about this week, Brad, that I've loved. Not only has it been playoff football, but we've had the whole coaching carousel. I love the offseason. So you give me fired coaches, coaches getting interviewed for jobs that they're never going to get, and it tickles my fancy, so to say. So I've been pretty good.
Yeah, I like this new six-game wild card weekend. It's going to be weird having that Monday Night Football playoff game tonight. So you kind of look at it a little differently. Because what's that going to do? Give them a short rest going into the next week? We're going to see how that affects them going forward. But, it's there's nothing like this first weekend. It's eye-opening. It's very exciting, yeah.
Do you think that the Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh – see, I like the idea of expanding the playoffs, but then you see how these teams got into the playoffs, and it kind of makes me question, you know – I mean, it's money, so I guess it's worth it in the end. But I sit there and just go, man, because I didn't feel like Pittsburgh earned their way into the playoffs. I felt like they literally backed themselves in. Philadelphia, I guess, earned it. But at the same time, it's like you knew they weren't going to have a chance here, especially against Tampa.
Yeah, and you have the same argument for the college football playoff. I mean, if you expand this to 12 – I mean, we see every year the 1-4 matchup in college football. It's always usually a blowout of some sort. So in the NFL, I mean, we know why they did this. They did this for money. You know, you get an extra game on this weekend. Now you get 6 games this weekend instead of 4 like you used to have. So it's the kind of thing where does these teams that are the 7th seeds, do they really earn the playoff spot? It's questionable. But, you know, I think it's more opportunities for the fans out there, maybe the fringe fans who don't watch until the playoffs and they say, oh, let's watch this playoff team. My Eagles, my Steelers are in it. And that's kind of what they're going for. Maybe not people like you and me who watch all these games no matter what. Maybe the fringe fans out there to garner even more interest in the league, the number one league in the world.
I was really surprised that last week of the regular season, it seemed like there were two things people didn't want. They didn't want a playoff spot, and they didn't want the number one overall draft pick. We saw Indianapolis lose to Jacksonville, in which looked like that meant Jacksonville would lose the number one draft pick by winning that game. And then Detroit comes out and drops it as well. So then Jacksonville still gets the one seed. But Indianapolis is out. You saw the whole overtime thing with the Chargers and the Raiders, that the Raiders ultimately won. I was surprised at how bad the football was in week 18. Was so much on the line for some of these teams. But we made it to the playoffs. Saturday afternoon, I guess, was the first wild card game of the year. And we got to see Las Vegas and Cincinnati, two teams with inexperienced coaches and two teams with, I think, rising quarterbacks. I've made the argument Joe Burrow is the 4th best quarterback in the league this year. And not everybody agrees with me, but that's fine. I just think he's really good. And I think Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback as well. But you have these two teams, and, you know, we're here in Lexington, Kentucky. A lot of Cincinnati so-called fans in Lexington as well. That game ultimately came down to the referees. And are you surprised the NFL is actually saying, yeah, these refs are done for the playoffs?
No, because, I mean, what else can you do? You want to have them doing the Super Bowl, and then everybody's going to be like, oh, remember that that inadvertent whistle we had way back in the wild card round? You were on the Bengals from August, mm-hmm. and I remember laughing at you. Yeah, you're crazy. There's no – this Bengals team, they're not going to be that good. Over, under, I think the win total was 6, if I wasn't mistaken. I think so. 6 or maybe even 5.5. And I was like, oh, this is an under. There's no way. But I'll give you credit. You were on this team. And you mentioned Burrow, his Pro Football Focus rating. He was the third best quarterback in the league this year. So, according to PFF. So, I mean, it's not like that this is some new thing that's just happened. He's been outstanding all year long, Joe Burrow. And, you know, now in his first playoff game, and you hit it right on the head, you had two inexperienced coaches yesterday. Both with their first playoff game. Actually, two inexperienced quarterbacks. Carr never started a playoff game either. So you had two coaches and quarterbacks. Neither had started a playoff game. That's why we were like, there's going to be some defense in this game. We might go under the total. We got lucky on that, but that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, this was this line closed. The Bengals were up to 6-point favorite by the time this thing closed. Now, it was a bad spot for the Raiders, coming from that game you mentioned, the Chargers game, late Sunday night, and then having to fly cross-country short week for that Saturday first game of the weekend matchup. But still, this was a good spot for the Bengals, and they took advantage of it. And like you said, the inadvertent whistle really helped them out. But this might be just the beginning. You talk about some young kids, and they're the young, hip-happening team. I can't believe I'm saying it. The Bengals might be the young, hip team right now in the NFL.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is. So they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
My biggest question with Cincinnati, their win total was 6.5, by the way. Yeah. But my big question with them coming into the year was Zach Taylor. I didn't know if the coach added in him. I thought that there was enough offense in him to make some good things happen, which is why I really felt like they could have a decent year. But I wasn't sure just with all the other things. I mean, we watched Mike McCarthy, and we'll get to that game in a little bit. I mean, just time management was horrible. All kinds of just bad coaching. And it didn't have to do with necessarily play calling. It was all the other stuff. And that's where I questioned Zach Taylor coming into the season. But I felt like going up against Vegas, there was no disadvantage at the coach. They were both kind of even on where they were as far as the coaching aspect goes. But then you go to play calling, I'll give Taylor the advantage with that. And talent level on the team, Taylor has a much more talented team this year, especially with everything that happened with Las Vegas. Do you think that Vegas should retain their interim coach, or do you think they should go look for somebody else?
They should go look for somebody else, and yeah. I think they will. I've heard a lot of things. But, I mean, this is Las Vegas. We're not talking about Jacksonville. We're not talking about a smaller market. This is Las Vegas. This is the City of Lights. And you need a name in the City of Lights. You know, you had Gruden. They basically got him right before they moved to Vegas. So he was, this is a franchise and a team. They're going to go after a big name. If even the only way we could question this, maybe if he had won this game yesterday or Saturday, maybe you could consider keeping him. But even that 4-0 stretch down the stretch, streak down the stretch, they won those games by no more than 4 points. Every game was either overtime or 4 point or less win. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to survive. But I've heard even Harbaugh from Michigan. I've heard him as a name to come in for the Raiders. I've heard some other big names, too. I think they're going after somebody big.
Yeah, Harbaugh's an interesting one. I guess he fits fine there. I'm looking at the names. Let's see here that I found for them. Basically the same normal names that you're hearing everywhere. Brian Daboll from Buffalo, Bieniemy from Kansas City, Todd Bowles from Tampa, and then Frazier's in there. I don't know why you would hire Frazier, Leslie Frazier. He's a good defensive coach, but I wouldn't want him as my head coach after what he did in Minnesota. But anyways, that being said, I didn't think they should have, even if they went to the Super Bowl, I was thinking you need somebody else there. They're running on fumes right now off of the energy of getting rid of some bad energy in the building. And I feel like he's a guy that you can keep in-house still, keep on the staff maybe. He'd be a good guy to have around. But as far as being the head coach moving forward, I didn't think there was any chance in the world he would survive it. Cincinnati, though, you said it, they're up and coming. There's the future's bright in Cincinnati. The their next matchup against the Titans, you know, they should win that game. The Titans have a better coach in Vrabel. Vrabel should be coach of the year for what he did in Tennessee this year. But the talent level, even with Derrick Henry coming back, the talent level there just isn't much in Tennessee. And so it's going to come down to coaching or Joe Burrow being Joe Burrow there. Do you think Cincinnati has a good chance of making a run this year, or do you still think they're a year, maybe 2 years out?
They've got a shot. I mean, they're going to be – I mean, I haven't seen the line for this game yet, but they're going to be a short dog in this one. They're going to be a 3 or 4 point dog, I think, when this comes out. So it's not going to be the kind of game where you say, oh, the Bengals – just mail it in. It's the Titans can mail, you know, can just name the score. And we're not 100% sure Derrick Henry is going to be there for this game. We're told this, but until we see him on the field and actually, you know, walking out there for the game, for the first play, I'm not really all on board with Derrick Henry totally playing yet. I think it's a spot here for Cincinnati where they could actually, you know, as a dog, you know, you have the underdog mentality. You got a gunslinger-minded quarterback in Joe Burrow. And I think it's something where they're in a good spot here to maybe pull an upset, but definitely keep this one closer than the Desert Thicks.
Yeah, I think when I saw the seeding and how it all shook out coming into the playoffs, I thought, wow, Cincinnati's set up to make a little bit of a run here. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team this year, but they've got the offense to make a run. And if they made it, I wouldn't be completely surprised. But I just don't think they're quite at that level yet. Then you got the other end. We'll get to Buffalo and Kansas City in a second. But New England and Buffalo came in. You know, I looked at this one, and I was on a show Thursday night, I guess. And we talked about this game. And, you know, the deal was is they proved in New England that they were the better team. Buffalo was. I didn't expect the blowout though that we saw with Buffalo and New England because of coaching again. What does this say about Bill Belichick?
That he lost the divorce with Tom Brady. That's exactly what he did. And Tom Brady right now looks like the better. He won the divorce, so to speak. But Belichick's in his 70s now, and he's had a rookie quarterback this year. So, you know, I mean, I know Tom Brady was in his second year when they won their first Super Bowl, but that was a different time and a different place. But we forget that midseason run. They won 7 in a row midseason, the Patriots did, to kind of get this little run going. So I think next year is a big year for Belichick. If they can get 10, 11 wins next year, then you're saying, okay, well, he's back up and running again. Next year for Belichick, I think, is the really telltale sign. If he has a mediocre 500 or less season, you might be looking at somebody who's going to skip town and say, well, I've had enough. I don't want to ruin my reputation anymore. But you're right. Last night, Buffalo was easily the better team. And I hate to admit it. You were right about Josh Allen a couple years ago, too. I was not a believer in Josh Allen. He's the best. I think he's the best player in the league this year. I really do. You look at his numbers, 4,400 passing yards, 700 rushing yards. He had over 5,100 total yards. He was probably the most valuable, on a statistical basis, probably the most valuable player in the league this year if you go look at his numbers. Yeah, Josh Allen, they've got a shot in Kansas City. I can promise you that.
Yeah, they do. I want to come back real quick, though, to Belichick. And, you know, he set it up well for him for next year. Because this year they went all in on defense and free agency. They brought in a ton of players to bolster that defense. Then they drafted a quarterback in Mac Jones, and he looked decent most of the year. He had his down moments, especially as the year waned on. He kind of got worse, but they need offensive pieces. They don't have any good wide receivers, no matter what any Patriot fan tells me. None of the receivers are good. They've got two tight ends that should be good. They got some okay running backs, but they've got to improve their offense to get better. Buffalo, though, they look like Super Bowl contenders. The problem with them this year is they haven't been consistent. They've had up moments and down moments, but now you're at that point where you can make a run. And, you know, Kansas City is a tough team. They've got a great offense, but they're banged up. They don't have a great defense. Kansas City does not. And Josh Allen plays like he's played the last couple of weeks. You're right. Buffalo has a huge opportunity. Could you imagine seeing Buffalo and Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game?
I cannot imagine it, but it happened before. The last time the Bengals were in the Super Bowl, they played Buffalo in the championship game to get to the Super Bowl. That's how crazy I am about the past and remember that stuff. But, yeah, it has happened before. It's been a long time, but it has happened before. But you're right. And that's, you know, that you can't fathom that. And on the Belichick end, when's the last time he drafted a really good skill position player? You can say Damian Harris. Maybe it's Gronkowski and Hernandez, the tight ends.
Yeah, probably.
You know, when was the last time they drafted a really good skill position ball handler player? I can't remember. I really can't.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, N'Keal Harry, that didn't work out. That's a recent draft pick.
None of those receivers have worked out, yeah.
Sony Michel at running back didn't work out. You know, Harris has played well. There's no doubt about that. But it almost makes it look like he got lucky with Harris and everything else. You know, he's a guy that has to build through free agency because the draft, you know, he has a lot of credit given to him for the way that he's built teams over the past. But I think it's time to admit that without Tom Brady, the legacy of Bill Belichick would have been drastically different. I'm not sure, you know, maybe in the early days with Brady, but I'm not sure that had Belichick retired 10 years ago, that Brady still wouldn't have gotten to the Super Bowl as many times as he did. I mean, from what we're seeing with what Brady's doing now in Tampa, and he's got a good team in Tampa, but it seems like Brady was definitely the upper hand in that relationship when it comes to winning football games.
When he was in Cleveland, Belichick coached 4 years. He had one winning season in Cleveland. When he got to New England, his first year was a losing season. And then the year that Bledsoe got injured, that was the second game of the season. They were 0-2 when Tom Brady made his first start. So, of course, it's all Tom Brady, and he is winning the divorce. And Belichick gets a lot of credit, especially for what he did with the Giants in those Super Bowls. He did have Lawrence Taylor, though, one of the greatest defensive players of all time. And what they did against the Buffalo Bills was outstanding in that Super Bowl in 1990 when Norwood missed the kick. And that game against Buffalo earlier this year on a Monday night, when they ran it every time except three, Belichick saying, I've still got it, and I've still got a little pepper, and I've still got a little pride. So he's going to keep firing bullets. It's just a matter if he has the right guy shooting the gun in Mac Jones.
Yeah, and I think it's a good lesson to learn too, though. You talk about New York and what he did in New York. You know, reality is there's a lot of really good defensive coordinators out there that don't make it as head coaches. Todd Bowles may be one of those guys at Tampa. He's had a great run here at Tampa, and now he's getting interviewed for jobs to be a head coach again. And maybe he gets another opportunity and it works, but it didn't work the first time. But he's a great defensive play caller. And Belichick has been known as a great schemer, a great cheater, a great defensive play caller, all those things. Uses the rules to his advantage, needless to say, many times over. Let's talk about Tampa and Philly. Philly comes in with a running quarterback that really can't throw the ball accurately. And, you know, a rookie head coach, only rookie head coach to make it to the playoffs this year was Philadelphia, which is amazing because I thought that was the worst hire of all the hires last year, even worse than David Coley in Houston. So that's saying a lot about my opinions of him. But Tampa had no issues, and they're shorthanded.
Yeah, you were right on the Pittsburgh and the Philadelphia aspect, the number seven seeds. I mean, this game is 14-0 before you blink an eye. Yeah. And you basically are like, this game's over, you know, because there was no way that Philadelphia was going to put up enough points at that point. You didn't think, okay, can Philly put up 15 points? You know, they did put up exactly 15 points. But at that point in the game, I mean, you know, it was very easy to sit there and tell you the Eagles were going to lose this game, especially at the way they started. And Jalen Hurts, you know, his QBR for the game was 20. So that should tell you, 20 out of 100, so that should tell you. And Brady didn't exactly light it up himself, but Jalen Hurts was just that far inferior on that field today. And it was, you had a little wind, you had a little weather issue, but still, Jalen Hurts just was unable to get. I'm surprised we didn't see Minshew at some point, to be quite honest with you.
I'm surprised they didn't put him in the second half. I thought by the end of the first half, Hurts had done enough bad things. And, you know, he gets him out of a lot of trouble with his legs, but he had done enough bad things. I thought, man, it doesn't hurt to throw in another quarterback here. They didn't do it. I thought Tampa was so fortunate to get to play Philadelphia here in the first round because Tampa is – they're hurt. I mean, they lost AB after he ceremoniously walked off the field. They're out Chris Godwin, one of their best receivers. They're basically down to Mike Evans and then the scrap heap there at wide receiver. And then you've got Gronk at tight end. Who I assume this is his last year, but I don't know. He had some good plays in this game. But I think you put Tampa up against San Francisco, I think Tampa loses. You know, I think you put them up against really anybody else in the division or in the conference, I think Tampa loses. And they got really fortunate to face off against Philadelphia. Do you agree with me, or do you think Tampa is a legit contender this year?
Hi, I'm Maria.
And I'm Mike. And we're
Team Ready. Black Hills Energy knows your home is where your heart is, so they want you to be ready.
It's all about keeping you safe, prepared, and making your home as energy efficient as possible.
Everything from how to weatherize your home to how to stay safe during extreme weather.
Be ready for anything. Go to blackhillsenergy.com/teamready.
Oh, Tampa's a legit contender. I think if they go up against San Francisco, I think this is Tampa. They're going to have the home field, and so they'll be in good shape there. But yeah, this is Tampa. I think they're going to get to the end. It's going to be Tampa and Green Bay all over again. But this time you might be on the right side with your boy Aaron Rodgers. But of course, you know, having that extra game off helped them tremendously. But no, I wouldn't give up on Tampa yet because. Betting against Tom Brady. I mean, I've done it before, and I've regretted it. So, yeah, it's not a spot where I think it's very advantageous at all. So,
did you see the situation with Bruce Arians coming out, hitting the player in the head? That's starting to catch a little bit of steam. I think they're going to try to kind of just swipe it out real quick and get past it. Arians has been known as kind of a – oddball, not necessarily the most pleasant person to be around. Do you think this turns into anything, or do you think we move on to football and no big deal?
I think it'll turn into something if you hear about it tomorrow morning. Because they're trying to there's all the public relations people right now, and we live in the old cancel culture that people complain about. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big deal, but if we start hearing more and more about this tomorrow morning, that's when you'll be able to see if this is going to be a thing. But is it going to hurt the Bucks? It's one of those distractions that we always hear about. We don't like the distractions. That's why Antonio Brown is gone, because we don't like the distraction of that goes on. And Belichick was the king of getting rid of distractions. But you're right. Arians, he's always been a little bit aloof is the word that always comes to mind when I think of Arians. But you know what? He's got a Super Bowl ring right now. And he made Arizona a winner for a lot of years when they really didn't have enough to be a winner. So he's a good coach. Now, his way of doing it, a little different, but, you know, he's still a good coach. We'll see what this happens. I don't think it's going to be a deal, but we'll see tomorrow with the Monday morning news wire.
Yeah. Let's see here. Dallas and San Francisco. This is a fun one. Dallas, they looked beat the entire game, but they had an opportunity at the end. They decide to run Dak up the middle, slide down, and spike the ball. The problem is they didn't leave themselves enough time to spike the ball. Game ends. San Francisco gets the win without Dallas having a shot to take the lead on the last play. We were talking before we came on air, Mike McCarthy, just Mike McCarthy'd this game all up, didn't he?
Yep. You know, I was not really a huge against Mike McCarthy guy until I saw that championship game against the Seahawks. Was it 2014, I think?
You would have been, yeah.
And the Packers had that one. They had that one dead to rights. And somehow McCarthy got rid of that, lost that game somehow, some way. And that's when I started looking, wait a minute, how is Aaron Rodgers not winning more Super Bowls? He should have more than one at this point. It's McCarthy. And he, as time went on, you saw, boy, he really doesn't know what he's doing in terms of game management type of stuff. And we saw that today for sure. And, yeah, it's when you compare Kyle Shanahan to Mike McCarthy, that's a no contest, as Dick Vitale used to say. If you wanted to take the Cowboys today and lay the points with Mike McCarthy, you're doing so at your own risk, because history tells us that's a bad bet.
McCarthy, so about 3 years before he left Green Bay, I told my dad, of course, me and dad are huge Packer fans. I told my dad, I said, they need to fire McCarthy. He goes, no, they don't. No. He's good, and they did this and whatever and whatever. And that last 3 years in Green Bay was just horrible. I mean, him and Rodgers weren't getting along. The offense, I could have told you almost every time what they were getting ready to do as an offense until Rodgers started changing the plays in the huddle from what McCarthy was calling. And then everything just went downhill from there and led to the ultimate drafting of Love and anyways. It was all because of McCarthy. He refused to change. He refused to improve. And he was predictable. I honestly thought that him having time away was going to be good for him. And I thought the hire in Dallas was a good hire. I thought he was going to come out at least for 4 or 5 years, have some success. And I'm starting to think now that maybe Kellen Moore or Dan Quinn is the head coach of Dallas next year, as opposed to Mike McCarthy, because I'm not sure. Let's start with that. Should Dallas move on now from Mike McCarthy? Does he deserve to be fired? Because their assistants are getting interviewed for other jobs, and we know Jerry Jones loves Kellen Moore. So what do you think about the coaching situation in Dallas?
He absolutely should be gone. I mean, if today didn't teach you, nothing will. But the thing is, with Dallas, and it's a very unique situation, Jerry Jones wants a yes man. He wants somebody who won't fight back. He wants somebody who he can say, do this and do that, and they'll do this and do that, whether it's in their best interest or not. He's doing it for Jerry Jones. Now, would Kellen Moore be a better coach right now? Absolutely, probably he would. I mean, it couldn't be any worse than Mike McCarthy. If you watched HBO's Hard Knocks, I don't know if you watched that before the season. No. They had Dallas. They had Dallas on there. And, you know, you saw Mike McCarthy's, you know, routine. I think he gets massages every day. And, you know, it's not like he's burning the midnight oil studying game films and running analytics, you know, like he said he was going to before he got hired. If you saw the HBO Hard Knocks, you saw enough about McCarthy to know he's a clown show. And you, Green Bay right now, they've won 13 games three seasons in a row now. Mm-hmm. So ever since McCarthy's been gone. Is that coincidence? Probably not. Because at the end, McCarthy wasn't doing anything for Aaron Rodgers. And it's not like Green Bay has so much a better team now than they had but when McCarthy's last few years there. So, sure. Yeah, it's McCarthy. And if Jerry Jones, you know, wants to win another Super Bowl before he passes away, heaven forbid it's anytime soon, he might want to look into getting rid of this McCarthy, but then he won't have a yes man to boss around and play the puppeteer with. So, yeah, it's a very fine line. Why do you think Barry Switzer was a hire for him years ago? Because he was a yes man who basically just took Jimmy Johnson's players and won a Super Bowl somehow.
What about Dak Prescott? Is he a quarterback that can succeed, have playoff success? Or is he just kind of that, I don't know, third-tier quarterback in the NFL that can get you to the playoffs, win you a division here and there, but may not be enough of that top-tier quarterback level?
Well, his contract says he is, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he is.
So does Nick Foles.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is when you – pay a good quarterback, great quarterback money. That's when you pigeonhole yourself. That's, you know, it's one thing to pay Brady and Rodgers and Mahomes that kind of money. But when you have to pay guys like Dak Prescott that kind of money, you're setting your franchise back. Because not only is Dak Prescott not proven himself, especially in the playoffs, but now you're giving him all this money. You can't go out and improve anywhere else. They also signed Ezekiel Elliott to a ridiculous contract a few years ago. So, yeah, is Dak Prescott getting paid like a top five quarterback? Yes, he is. Is he a top five quarterback? From week to week, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. We don't know. That's not the way you want to go into a playoff round, especially. And today, we saw what Dak Prescott does in these pressure situations. He's been around for a while now. He's been in the league. I think this is his seventh year in the league, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like he's a spring chicken anymore. And neither is Ezekiel Elliott, for that matter. So, yeah, if he's getting paid like a quarterback, but the numbers say, you know, not his stats. He has good regular season stats, but winning and losing, especially these playoffs, say no, he is not.
Interesting spot in Dallas for sure. Sure. Something I noticed during the game, Dallas-San Francisco game, was John Fossil. I don't typically notice special teams coaches, but it was twice in this game where I watched John Fossil talking to McCarthy, and I honestly thought, I think McCarthy is listening too much to his special teams coach. I felt like he was getting in the way, distracting situations. They had the fake punt, which was successful,
yes.
But then they got a delayed game right after that because the special teams stayed on the field. There was confusion. They ran off. The offense ran on, and they got to lay a game, which probably falls on Mike McCarthy. But I'll tell you, the things John Fossil was doing on the sideline caught my attention tonight. I think maybe he's a problem in Dallas, and whether they get rid of McCarthy or not, I think Fossil needs to go. He has that veteran resume. Been in the league for 16 years coaching, but boy, he was a problem today, I thought, at least on the sideline, something that I noticed. So if you go back and rewatch that game, keep an eye out for John Fossil and see what you think as well.
Well, also about who you are in life. And yeah. John Fossil's father was Jim Fossil, and he was a very well respected coordinator, and he coached the Giants. He got to the Giants in the Super Bowl. So I'm sure Jerry Jones has told McCarthy, hey, listen to this guy. He's had some success before. His dad had some success before. So he might know what he's talking about. He might be able to help you out. So, yeah, it's all about who you are. His last name's Fossil. He gets these jobs. He gets the more respect. So, yeah, it's all about who you are in life. And sometimes when your dad is a former Super Bowl coach, you get a little bit more credit maybe than you should deserve, especially when you're the special teams coach.
Speaking of Super Bowl winning fathers, let's look at San Francisco. Now they face up against Green Bay. And, you know, Shanahan has done a great job in San Francisco. You know, one thing that has confused me, Brad, is I've heard a lot of people saying they drafted Trey Lance because Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't stay healthy. And I thought, no, they drafted Trey Lance because they didn't believe Jimmy Garoppolo could win a Super Bowl. But here they are. Jimmy Garoppolo's playing. He's leading this team right now. Now they go, they'll travel to Green Bay. They already played once already this year. And Shanahan and his old buddy Matt LaFleur face up again in the playoffs. It's going to be cold in Lambeau Field. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who should be the MVP of the league. You can let me know if you disagree with me on that. And then and now they face up against San Francisco. What do you think that game looks like next week?
Green Bay, they opened a 5.5-point favorite. I wouldn't be shocked to see this line go up to 6, 6.5 before we get to midweek here. It's something where the Packers have the name brand. Aaron Rodgers has the name brand. Jimmy Garoppolo does not. And Kyle Shanahan does not. Although I think he might be there are times when he's as good as any coach in the league. Sometimes he's not, but I mean, he fluctuates. I think this is a good spot for San Francisco. Now you bring up a good topic with the Trey Lance stuff. I honestly think they moved up to pick Mac Jones earlier on. But everybody told them, oh, well, you could get Mac Jones. He's not worthy of a top three pick. And sometimes you listen to the noise too much around the draft. And when you get to that point, now you're letting the public and you're letting the Twitter world dictate who you're picking instead of what you originally were doing. Because the Niners knew that Belichick wanted Mac Jones. So if that was a kind of thing where if we get up ahead of them and make him an early pick, well, we got our guy. I'm almost 100% sure that was kind of the way they did it because the Niners are so incognito about all their stuff. They keep everything under the table, so to speak. But, yeah, the Trey Lance thing, I think that's going to come back to bite them. I think they're going to stick with Garoppolo going forward. I'm not sure. I saw Trey Lance play this year, and I'll be honest, he only played, I think, one game last year due to COVID and all that stuff in Division I AA or whatever it's called now, FCS. I'm not completely sold on him at all, especially with the Niners and especially with Shanahan, the way he wants to call plays. So it's the kind of thing where it's Garoppolo or nobody, and I think at this spot, I think you're going to see Garoppolo come to play against the Packers this week.
Garoppolo, I'm trying to think of a good comparison. I was going to say Cutler, but he's better than Cutler. He's safer than Cutler, I should say. But he's going to throw you one or two passes a game that you can pick off, and you've got to take advantage of those one or two passes, if you're a defense, that is. I'll disagree with you. I think Garoppolo is gone, and the reason why I think he's gone after the end of this season is his trade value hasn't been higher in a really long time. Right now, they can move him somewhere like Carolina, Denver. I'm sure there's another place that I'm forgetting, but you can move him somewhere that needs a quarterback, maybe even a place like New Orleans. I don't know, but they're going to get as much or more for him at the end of this season than what they spent to get him, you know, just that second round pick back in whenever that was. I know I'm a Packer homer, so it's hard for me to say, oh yeah, San Francisco will beat them. I think San Francisco can beat them. But I think the way the Packers have played defensively as of late, they've been much better, and they're getting healthy. They had the week off. They're getting pass rushers back and Za'Darius Smith and Whitney Merciless. They're getting some defensive backs back as well. They should be better. Now, they haven't played in a long time, so maybe they're worse because they're bringing back some of these better players, but they haven't played in a while, so maybe that's going to hurt them in the long run. Green Bay at home at this point in the year, and I know they lost in the championship game at home last year, but I'm definitely going with Green Bay with this one. I was hoping Philadelphia would upset Tampa so we could play Philadelphia, but that didn't happen. So
for that, yeah.
So here we sit. All right. That brings us to tonight's game. The Los Angeles Rams facing off against the Arizona Cardinals. Third time that they've met this season. I love the talent that Arizona has on their team, but again, I look at coaching, and Cliff Kingsbury scares me to death. On the other side, I have a lot more confidence in Sean McVay, who went to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff as his quarterback, and even though Stafford has not played great this year, I trust McVay with Stafford more than I trust Kingsbury with Kyler Murray. What are you looking at with this game, and how do you think it's going to turn out?
We've seen a lot of favorites so far in these games until today, until yesterday, the San Francisco 49ers. But the favorites really have done well so far in this round, which is a shocker because usually it's not how it goes. But this is a game where I really like the underdog here. Kyler Murray on the road this year, Arizona was 8-1 straight up, 8-1 against the spread. So that's the kind of thing where, hey, Arizona, they may have been so-so at home, and they ruined their season because they weren't able to win these home games. But this is the spot, I think Arizona, especially Matthew Stafford, he had the second most interceptions in the league the second half of the season. So it was the kind of thing where, is Stafford really this guy? Is he reverting back to the guy he was in Detroit, the guy he was in Georgia for that matter? It's the it's a spot here that I really like Arizona. And we sit here and we say, well, the playoffs, you always take the dogs or always take the favorites. I just think you have a quarterback advantage for Arizona, and you've got a team this year that has been outstanding on the road, 8-1 straight up and against the spread. So this, I think this is my favorite, other than the Niners on Sunday. The Arizona is my favorite dog to pick this week in terms of against the spread.
I feel like this is a legacy building game for Kyler Murray. This is the game where he can come out and flash his talent, have a great game. And now we're talking about Kyler Murray the way that we were talking about Lamar Jackson, what, 2-3 years ago? I guess 3 years ago, whenever he won the MVP, everybody was like, oh, Lamar Jackson, he's the greatest thing. And then this year, people were saying they need to cut Lamar Jackson and sign Tyler Huntley as their starter. And it's like, whoa, what's going on here? Kyler Murray can begin to build his legacy here in these playoffs with a big win against the Rams on the road. You make a great, compelling argument with the statistics. Brad Taylor, the one person I know that actually comes with facts to these things. You seem big on quarterback, but let's talk about coaches. Kingsbury versus McVay, quarterback and coach have a lot to do with these wins. And Kingsbury, I mean, I know he won the 8-1 on the road this year, but, I mean, how much confidence do you have in him?
Not much confidence in him at all. But I will say this. I think Kyler Murray is the deodorant that covers up a little bit of the stink for Kingsbury, because Kyler Murray is that good. I mean, in terms of covering spreads, when you're an underdog, there are very few quarterbacks in this league that I would say they have a puncher's chance against anybody as an underdog. And Kyler Murray is one of those guys, and his history tells us this. This is the first time Arizona's made the playoffs in 6 years anyway. So it's the kind of thing where, as I have a little visitor coming to visit me here, yes, who do you like in the game tonight? Oh, okay. Yes, you need to go see Miss Judy. Anyway, you threw me off track. Yes,
it's not the first cat we've had on our show. Ryan McCarthy from the No Credentials Require, his cat jumps in every now and then. Kevin Wilson. His cat's come in before. We're a cat podcast, apparently.
Apparently so, yes. Foreshadowing for our basketball talk later in the show, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Nice. What a segue we have. Okay. Kyler Murray is that much better. And if you look at his overall numbers and the fact that dogs in these historically underdogs in the wild card round have done very well, 55%. going into play here on this this weekend. It's the kind of thing where can all the favorites win? Well, we saw one in San Francisco, but I think we're going to see another one. I think Arizona might be able to pull this off. Certainly cover the number. History tells us that, and I, for my money, I think we have the quarterback advantage. Coaching, maybe not, but Kyler Murray is the play here for me.
In our last episode, I predicted Green Bay, Kansas City in the Super Bowl. The only thing that scares me from that prediction right now is Buffalo and the way that they played this week. You know, number one, who's your Super Bowl prediction? Number two, did anything change after watching the games this weekend?
Not a whole lot. I think you're looking Packers-Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, even though they don't have the home field advantage, if we have an AFC championship game, Titans and Chiefs, I think even if they do play in Tennessee, Kansas City will be favored in that game. I can promise you that. Even if it is on the road, Kansas City will be a field goal favorite there. And they should be. They rightly should be. What does Tennessee have? They've been winning games, but how do they win games? That's when you ask a team, when you ask yourself that about an NFL team in the playoffs, they're the number one seed, but how did they win all these games? You know, they didn't have Derek Murray. They didn't have this. They didn't have that. It's the kind of thing where a team like the Chiefs, I think you're looking Packers Chiefs at this point. That's my opinion. I mean, I could be dead wrong. And certainly we don't want to agree with Vince Dover on his beloved Packers. We'd do anything to not do that. But the road just feels so easy for Green Bay. You got San Francisco, and then you've got, you know, the winner of this game tonight. So it's the kind of thing where are we really going to have to go against the Packers? I think it's the Packers. They're the odds-on favorite right now, and with good reason.
We're talking with Brad Taylor. He's the host of The Bottom Line with Brad Taylor, Mondays through Thursday, 7 p.m. on the all-new Sports 96.1 The Zone in Lexington, Kentucky. He also hosts The Weekend Line on 92.5 and 1300 a.m. ESPN Lexington Radio, 9 o'clock on the weekends. So we'll close out our conversation, Brad, talking some Lexington things. The University of Kentucky basketball team absolutely walloped Tennessee this weekend. I tweeted out that Central Kentucky's a happier place when Kentucky's playing well. I'm not sure if you've noticed it in your workplace or around town. Just people seem to be a little bit more cheerful this year than they were last year in basketball season. So Kentucky, are they for real? Are they legit? Are they a Final Four team? Or will they eventually crumble under the pressure of being the one and dones and the transfers?
You make a very good point. I mean, I grew up here, so I know for a fact when Kentucky basketball is doing well, it makes for a much easier January and February than when they're not doing well. And we saw that last year, and it was all depressing and it was all terrible. But I think the cupcake schedule that we saw in November and December, that was a really – that was the worst thing that this team could have gone through, because we couldn't judge them. We saw the Duke game, and everybody was like, oh, well, they only lost by so many. And it's very exciting. It's very uplifting. Well, they still lost, though. I mean, I don't remember Kentucky fans ever being excited over a loss. And then it was cupcakes for over a month. It was nothing but cupcakes. And, you know, we talk about this all the time with Kentucky basketball. Show us on the road. Show us when you're not playing these cupcakes. And then they lost to Notre Dame. When they got the road win at Vanderbilt, it changed everything. But you're right. Yesterday's game against Tennessee, it was a statistical masterpiece. I mean, we can sit here and talk about it. This is the first time they shot this well since the invention of the wheel and fire. So, I mean, we can sit here and do that all night long. But the analytics now love Kentucky because they piled up numbers in these early SEC games. But let's just face it, they're still 1-2 in true road games. And now the next nine games, six of them are on the road. So now you're looking at it. They go to Texas A&M and Auburn this week. They're going to be a short favorite, probably 6-7 points at A&M. They're going to be an underdog at Auburn on Saturday. Now you want to you really want to impress somebody, go win those two games this week. Go down to Auburn on Saturday, win that game. That's a really good team, Auburn. I'm going to tell you right now, Auburn's winning the SEC regular season. Their schedule lines up that way, and they're just that good. Mostly the schedule lines up for them at this point. But Auburn's winning the SEC. They're going to finish higher than Kentucky. This is the SEC regular season champion, my opinion. And the odds makers out in the desert are shading them a little bit too. But, you're right. It's a lot more cheerful around these parts when Kentucky wins. But I have a feeling you see an upset loss maybe to A&M this week on a Wednesday night when they're supposed to win. And all of a sudden, here come the naysayers, and here come the severe Wheeler can't shoot people and things like that. But you're right. That game Saturday was very impressive statistically. I was shocked to see them put up 107 on Tennessee.
I just, coming into this season, the thing that gave me optimism with Kentucky, because I've been the last couple of years, and I'm a Kentucky fan, the last couple of years, I have really been down on Coach Cal. I've been down on the process that how he brings kids in and the one and dones and those kinds of things. I'm not against one and dones. I'm against building the program around one and dones. You got to have some consistency, some people there. This year, though, he has veteran players. He brought in more transfers than freshmen. So he's got the Oscar Tshiebwe, who's just incredible with rebounds. It kind of reminds me of the old Charles Barkley, the relatively in shape Charles Barkley. That's kind of where I see that from. But they've got, you know, Grady came over from Davidson. He's played relatively well. Wheeler, when he plays well, this Kentucky team's going to have a hard time losing when Wheeler's playing well. But when he's not playing well, that's when the adversity comes. And you're right, these road games are going to be an incredibly tough battle. You say Auburn in the SEC. Do you think the SEC is a good conference this year, an okay conference this year, a bad conference this year? Where do you rank them at?
They're a very good conference. I mean, they're very top heavy. You've got teams like LSU, Alabama, and this is a very good conference. You know, you have the usual suspects. The Big Ten is better than they are. The Big 12 is better than they are basketball-wise. But right, they're even better than the ACC this year. I mean, who do you have in the ACC? Usually it's Duke and North Carolina. And North Carolina's a little off this year. Duke, they're a top 25 team. That's the only team that's ranked right now in the ACC. So I look at a conference like the SEC, very top heavy, because you don't want to go down to with Vandy and Georgia and Missouri and some teams like that. But they have definitely, for sure, they've got six NCAA tournament teams right now, and they might have one or two more by the time it's all said and done. They have that many top-heavy teams. But, yeah, this I am all over Auburn to win this conference regular season. They're already 5-0 conference, and they now have – if they beat